Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from California. Today is Wednesday, October 4th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 157. Today's readers are Candy P, Laura W, N. The reference numbers for Tuesday, October 3rd, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 20,697. That's 20697. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Wednesday, October 4th, the share ID is 20,713, 20713. This is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Candy P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Candy, please press star 1 to unmute.
Yes, thank you. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the 12 steps, and may everyone have a blessed day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Candy P. from New York. And I will now ask Laura U. from Ohio to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. It's Laura W. from Ohio, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our primary relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, Laura W., recovered in Ohio.
Thank you so much, Laura W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a page or two, a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions
Jody,
in the Big Book mean to
you?
Us. To share, press star 1 to unmute.
Anybody here?
Once you have done sharing,
Jody?
Let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, fourth edition, on page 157, paragraph 4. I will now ask Lorraine N. to begin reading. Press star 1, Lorraine.
Interesting.
I don't hear you, Lorraine. Tara L., are you there? Can you read for us, please? Can I be heard? Can you hear me? I'm not hearing anybody. Maybe I am locked out. Tara L., are you there, please? Tara, press star one. I'm not hearing Tara L., our backup reader, either. Ah.
Jody, I just got back on, sweetie. I'm here. Jody, Kara L's here to help. What do we need? Hello? Jody? Hello? Jody, are you there?
We're having technical difficulties. Is that what's going on?
Yep. I'm not so sure where Jody is right now. Does anybody else have the script?
No, but this is Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Definitely there was a significant outage of some sort, and so we're just getting, I can see people coming back into the meeting now.
Great.
And Jody should be back on the call shortly, and I do have a script here if we need to step in with another leader.
I'm back. You're back, Jody? Okay, there you are.
Great. Hi, Jody. This is Kara L. I'm here as backup, whatever we need.
Kara, if we're bringing on...
If we can get everybody else to press star one, and Jody, if you're the only one, it seems like you're breaking up a bit here. But let's get everybody else to press star one, please. Anybody that's walking, anybody that's heavy breathing, can you please press star one? Jody, are you still there?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Okay. I can. And your first reader is Lorraine. I'm not sure if Lorraine's back on or not. If we can choose somebody else, it looks like you're in the process of doing that.
Yeah, let's go ahead with Kara. I believe she's on.
Okay. Can everybody else please press star one? We have this under control.
Kara, are you there? I don't hear you, Kara.
Hi, star one, please.
Jody, I'm here.
Oh, so is Lorraine. Oh, Lorraine's here too.
All right. Well, let's go with Lorraine since she is our reader of the text this week. Lorraine, it's paragraph.
Star one. Mm-hmm.
Page
157. You need to press star one more time. We're trying to keep everybody else muted. Don't try your phones anymore, people. Just let Lorraine come up and speak on the paragraph. We'll be patient.
Hi, good morning. I keep getting muted. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. I'm so glad everybody's here. Thanks for your patience. Okay, please, everyone, press star one. For an hour, the two friends told him about their drinking experiences. Over and over, he would say, "That's me, that's me. I drink like that." Well, my first experience in OA, I walked into a massive meeting on a Sunday morning in Boston at Boston University in one of the rooms there. And this woman went down front to tell her story. And she talked about living in a walk-up apartment on the fourth or fifth floor in Boston and how she would binge at night. And when she couldn't eat anymore, she would take the leftover food down to the dumpster, five flights, put it in the dumpster in the alley behind the building. And later on that night, she would go down and get that food out of the dumpster and eat it. And she became my first sponsor. Talk about identifying in. I mean, I never threw food in a dumpster, but I certainly threw it in my trash can and took it back out many, many times. And I didn't think anyone else on the planet did something like that. And I was full of shame. And so, you know, this paragraph is just so beautiful. It's Bob and Bill sharing their story and supporting and encouraging each other. And that's how this whole thing started. And you know, only we can help each other because we get it. We totally understand. And, you know, in this paragraph, the man is beginning to identify in a little bit because these people are speaking the language of the heart, you know, and it's really the beginning of recovery, one addict sharing with another. And so the seed was planted for me at that meeting, and that was like 40 years ago. And the seed is being planted in this poor gentleman who's, you know, going to get sober. And, you know, I've never found any place better. So, and I've tried everything else on the planet for this disease. And I found recovery at this Visions meeting when I found a sponsor who helped me, Kara L., my first time through the steps with a Vision sponsor. So if you're new and you're suffering on the line, you're who I'm speaking to. Stick around, keep listening. Don't miss a meeting. This full of valuable information and recovery here. So thanks so much. Lorraine N., Oregon, I'm on the list. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. from Oregon. I will now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, we're on page 107, the fourth small paragraph. And I'll just add, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share. Ooh, so who would like to share?
Kara L.
Sarah.
Vanessa D.
Vanessa.
Debbie B.
Anyone else? Let's begin with those three, Kara L., Vanessa G., and Debbie B. Go ahead, Kara.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I look at this paragraph and, you know, the two friends, they said, this is what happened to us. And, you know, and Bill's there saying, that's me. And I know when I'm at a meeting and I'm speaking and I say, you know, I don't know if you can identify with this. And I tell about, you know, the demoralization, the countless promises, every morning starting a new day and then continuing to compulsively eat, I get from other people, that's me. And it's the same thing that I thought when I was in a meeting and somebody started talking about food, the way I lived my food, the compulsiveness, the demoralization, the anger, the anxiousness. And the first time, you know, when I walked into the rooms all those years ago, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know anything about 12 steps. All I knew was that I would never leave. And this is one of the things that I learned in these rooms, they were, was to never leave, no matter what. I was in, you know, my butt was in the chair, I was in recovery. And it's been a long road. And I'm so grateful that I stayed for the miracle, as they say, that I stayed until I had my spiritual awakening. And then I had this conscious contact with a power greater than me that now takes care of me through everything in my life. That I got to have through neutrality, that I got to be able to see my part. I got to be able to work on emotional, you know, sobriety. That I got all these gifts that working these steps has given me, and that I continue to grow with every day. Because I have to continue to grow, because just because I'm recovered doesn't mean that life is easy. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I automatically react in the most serene way. No, I don't. But I gotta work these steps. I gotta sponsor. I gotta lean on my fellows when I need to lean on my fellows. And that's a huge gift. And I'm grateful for that today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Vanessa G., please go ahead.
Hi, Jody. Hey, everybody who got back on the line. This is Vanessa G., and I'm in New Mexico, gratefully recovered. I just need to share, particularly because of this paragraph, about a wonderful experience I had yesterday. For the very first time since pre-COVID, I went to an in-person OA meeting. And I sat down and I looked around the room, and as the shares started, I noticed something really important that I miss, you know, or that I've been missing for a couple of years. And that's the heads going up and down, bobbing in agreement as each of them shared. We identify with each other. There's nothing that replaces the one alcoholic, one compulsive eater talking to another, that language of the heart. And to be there physically was such a gift. It wasn't my great idea. A newcomer got me there, asking me to meet him there. By the way, just sort of as an aside, you know, it's an extremely brave thing for any man to sit down in a room full of women and share his emotions and feelings, his truth. But after the meeting, a couple of people, I hugged one lady, and we've been putting on a Zoom meeting for a couple of years now, and I didn't even realize that I hadn't seen her in person. That was the first time that I was actually meeting her physically, because we'd gotten so close over the phone. Another woman walked up to me and said, "Oh, it's so good to see you, totally, not just your head, and you've been such an inspiration." I mean, it was just something that had me on a pink cloud for the rest of the day, that, you know, just connecting with other people. And I realized that we've been given a great gift here at Vision. And it's our responsibility. And not only that, it's a gift to be able to go out and share it, you know, with others that don't have that opportunity, that haven't found out about Vision yet. And I'm on fire this morning. So thanks for letting me share. Thank you for bringing me Vision. Thank you for letting me have this, you know, beautiful gift that I can go out and share with others. And I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Debbie B., where are you from?
I am Debbie B., compulsive overeater from Utah. And I am so grateful I can this morning. I usually get on the earlier meeting, but because of circumstances, I'm on this one, and they're both such a blessing. Every meeting is such a blessing. And I was thinking about this paragraph, and I was thinking about the opposite of how when I was first in program and I was so on fire on the pink cloud that I wanted to tell people, and they would look at me like, wait, you're in a 12-step program for food? And so because they would respond that way, I thought, I need to explain to them why I am in a 12-step program for food. And so then I would tell these normal eaters about how I would get up every night at midnight because I couldn't sleep because the cravings were so bad. And I would go in the kitchen and grab a huge handful of cinnamon bears as my favorite candy. And I had to do that in order to go back to sleep. And I thought, once they hear that, they'll be like, oh, I see. Well, they didn't. And I remember seeing the looks on their faces of why would anybody do that? I would share about how I'd go out and get food back out of the outside garbage can I had put in there, or when my husband's aunt offered me one chocolate from a box of chocolates, and I would say, no, thank you, and then she would say, why? And I'd say, well, because then I would want to eat the whole box. And she looked at me like, well, I'm not offering you the whole box. And so I learned very quickly that I was very oversharing and that these people did not understand. They didn't understand because they had never been there. Now, there were some that I shared with that did understand, but I don't remember any, actually. But I stopped doing that because I felt like when I was in program, that is where there were people that would nod their heads, as we just heard, and say, yes, I've done that. And it was so wonderful and freeing for me to think that I was not the only person on the planet that did that with food, something that is food. It's not even like real food. Like cinnamon bears, that's not real food. I don't even know what that is, but it's not real food. Red food coloring and sugar, corn syrup, that's it. That's not food. And so it was so wonderful to finally meet people who ate like I ate. And so I'll be forever grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie B. from Utah. Who else would like to share on this short paragraph on page 157, paragraph 4, which begins
Hi.
Four and.
Mm-hmm. I would like to share Laura W. from Ohio.
Laura W. from Ohio. Anyone else?
Shanna C. Tennessee.
Metris J. from Michigan.
Metris J. from Michigan. Anyone else?
Janice K. from Oregon.
Janice A. from Oregon. Okay, great. We'll go with those four. We have Laura W. from Ohio, Janice C. from Tennessee, Metris J. from Michigan, and Janice K. from Oregon. Please go ahead, Laura.
All right. My share on this little couple sentence paragraph is just kind of packed with things. Because the two friends told about their drinking experiences, and over they say, that's me. And I can relate this to my compulsive overeating experience and the friends that I've made in Vision for You since coming here and how my life has changed. Because I was a midnight eater and I would get up and I would eat a whole jar of peanut butter while wandering around the house in the middle of the night. And when I was able to tell people that, and they said, yeah, I did that too, that was me, I was just amazed. And since I've come to Vision and I've worked the 12 steps, I've had a spiritual awakening beyond any spiritual awakening I've had in the past. And I even thought I had God in the past. But I was shoving food down my throat at such a high rate that I couldn't even hear from what I believed is my higher power, God. And working the 12 steps taught me that food is the information from the outside world that we put into our body. And it's the most important place for me to start to have my spirituality redeveloped. And working those 12 steps, learning about that I am really powerless over getting up and eating a jar of peanut butter in the middle of the night, that was what made a change for me. And I often wonder, well, God, why weren't you enough? Why did I need the 12 steps? God was enough, but he also gave Bill W. the 12 steps, which helped me get my compulsive eating under control. So for me, food was that information from the outside world that I put into my body. and it was the most important place for me to start with my spirituality. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Laura W., recovered in Ohio.
Thank you so much, Laura W. Shanna C. from Tennessee, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. from Tennessee, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Through God's grace and people who shared their story, just like these guys did. They shared their experiences. For an hour, two friends told them about their drinking experiences. And, my experience has been the most effective experience I've had with coming in this last time, and it's a miracle for my life. I just recently celebrated 4 years of entire abstinence. I never in my life thought it was ever possible, and it's far more God's victory than it is mine, I'm telling you. Just real quick, there was a lady that got on a special edition 4 years ago and shared her experience. And I was nodding my head. Yes, that's me. That's me. And by that time, what had happened is the disease had beat me into that state of reasonableness. And I had begged my higher power for help. And suddenly remembered this phone number and where it was located. And it just so happened to be on a Sunday, and the lady was giving her talk. And I was able to call her. She just so happened to have a sponsorship spot open up just that week. And anyone who knows my sponsor knows she stays pretty busy, and there aren't very many openings, and it just so happened to open up for me, and I've been with her since. And it's not her that keeps me abstinent. It's the God of my understanding, but it's those things that happen, that circumstances make me willing to believe that there is a power out there that wants me to get well and wants to help me. And since then, a miracle has happened, and all she did was share her story. And never, ever since in working with her has she ever really offered a whole lot of advice. The only thing she's really done is guide me and share her experience and through the steps, and that's it. I don't know, I'm grateful to be where I'm at, grateful that this obsession has been removed, and I'm not having to eat like I used to, because it's there. I'm not cured. The steps don't fix me. I love what was said in the special edition on Sunday. The steps don't fix us, but it enables us to remain spiritually active and connected to the power which keeps us from picking up that first compulsive bite. And for that, I'm eternally grateful today. And thanks for everybody on the line who shared and providing this place for people like me to land when we need you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Mitris J., please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. Mitris J., a compulsive overeater. You know, our stories may be different, but we all can definitely relate to each other as being compulsive overeaters. They tell me in the program, don't quit before the miracle happens and to keep coming back. And that's one of the things that have really saved me from doing a lot of damage and destructive things to myself, is that I keep coming back. And as I keep coming back, more is being revealed to me. And it has truly, truly in my life, this program and you people that understands me have really been a blessing. All the service you do, the support that you give, the honest shares, it all works together for my benefit being in recovery. So therefore, I will continue to keep coming back as more will be revealed. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mitris J. from Michigan. Janice K., please share with us.
Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. Oh, boy. This paragraph just spans reality. I've been the guy in the bed, and I've been the friend. And to the newcomer, keep coming back. Work the steps. It works if we work it. This paragraph packs in both, and it really hits me today. West Coast, you guys meet at 7 a.m. in the morning here. And I get up about 6, and sometimes I read a national paper before I come to this meeting. One of the series of articles being published deals with the decline of the lifespan of the United States citizen. And what they're blaming for it is chronic disease. And, okay, what have we got? A chronic disease. Does treatment for it work? My treatment is the 12 steps. That's the treatment for my chronic disease. My chronic disease has offshoots. My chronic disease is disease contributes to liver disease. It contributes to, kidney disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes. God, diabetes is a monster in the world today. I am not the only one currently managing serious health conditions by means of diet and exercise. And how am I doing this? I don't. I have to lean on a power greater than myself. I am not. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm not in charge of my food. I put God in charge of that. Because I can't be trusted around that stuff. I owe my recovery to other people. Sometimes I think I need to get my big bass drum, strap it on, and go march down. We have a main street called Wall Street. So there I am on Wall Street beating my drum saying, listen to me, I know the way out. Bang. Oh, well. Take what you like. Keep the rest on file. You might want it later. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. All right. Who else would like to share on this short paragraph? Paragraph 4, page
157. Susan G.
Susan G. And I'll just add that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared, we'd love to hear from you, or if you rarely share, please, we'd like to hear your voice.
Fran R., California.
Fran R., California. Who else?
Mary G. in Arizona.
Mary G., Arizona.
Nancy C.
Nancy C. Stop there and see how the time is. Go ahead, please, Susan G.
Good morning, Susan G., recovered in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Jody, for your service and the people behind the scenes who quickly got us all back together this morning. You know, I came in and out of these rooms from the early 80s, and it wasn't until 1998 that I, you know, fully conceded to my innermost self and was faced with that self-imposed crisis. And I used to come in and out of meetings and see people so happy and so free, and I would mainly go to meetings in person in Los Angeles called 100-pounder meetings, and so there were girls who looked like me at the time, which was 250 pounds, probably on a good day. And then there were those who said that they had looked like me once. And what always really intrigued me was their photographs. And I know that when I share on Zoom meetings or in person, and I share my screen and my photos, I see those hopeless faces of girls who look like I used to, lean in and think, okay, something different is going on here, and that identification begins. And, you know, that's me, that's me. I ate like that, I vomited like that, I starved like that, all the disturbing things that we did with food. And today, you know, through God's grace and these 12 steps and fellowship and friends, so many friends in these rooms, I have been able to obtain and maintain a normal body weight for 24 years. And none of that is me. I did that many times on my own, but don't blink, because it would have all been gone. So I'm truly, truly grateful to the friendships, the meetings, to everybody who puts all of these meetings together. And, you know, I keep on coming because I have to remember where I've been, where I am today, and where I haven't been yet. Thank you, Jody. I will pass.
Thank you, Susan G. from California. Fran R., please go ahead.
I'm Fran R. from Monterey, California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And this tiny little paragraph is really powerful. I started in OA how many, many, many years ago, decades, and I came in and out. I'm back. It's been going on 7 months. I'm approaching my healthy weight, according to my doctor, very close to it. And, but when I see this over, he said, that's me. I drink like that. I eat like that. I have yet to attend either a Zoom meeting, an in-person meeting, a podcast, anything that I did not hear at least one person or an entire meeting or entire podcast that I just shook my head. And I have cried. I've had spiritual awakenings right there listening all alone to a podcast. And yes, I don't think I have yet shared to a group how I used to eat, and I have to really consider that and see about that, because I rarely have shared how I used to eat, and I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you, and thank you so much, Jody, for all you've done and your leadership, and with that, I pass. God bless.
Thank you so much, Fran. R from California. Hallelujah. Mary G from Arizona, please share with us.
Hi, this is Mary G from Arizona, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Jody, for your service and all who have helped us on this meeting. What struck me was the first part of the sentence, for over an hour. You know, sometimes it takes a longer time for me to share my story because the person has a harder time to identify in. And because I've been in the rooms for several, you know, quite a few decades, you know, I have a lot of experience with relapse. I have experience with, you know, working on the food plan, working on the tools, you know, different things like that. But when I first came into OA, I will never forget my first meeting. It was the Tuesday after Easter, and you can imagine why it was after Easter that I went. It wasn't before Easter. I remember sitting in the parking lot eating my favorite candy and literally crying because I just had this feeling like I would never eat that again. And I walked in those rooms, and there were about 40 people there. It was in California, in Sunnyvale. And I just remember we didn't have OA books at that time. We were using Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't understand really the program at all, but I felt at home immediately. I heard my story. It was the first time at 36, you know, that I actually heard other people who always wanted more, who could not stop. And yet these people were able to pass up desserts, they said, or pass up a tray of pastries in a restaurant. And I thought, how on earth is that possible? And, you know, that's what I have to remember, you know, what it was like for me in the beginning and what those people shared. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, that meeting went away. It did not survive. I came back, oh, probably about 10 or 15 years later to just visit it because it was my first home meeting and it was gone. It wasn't there anymore. And, you know, it was a sad thing, but you know what? It just reminds me that I have to be present and do service. Otherwise, you know, it won't stay around. And, you know, I'm grateful that we get to read these paragraphs, just one paragraph at a time. It really just reminds me that, you know, it's not about the time. It's about sharing my experience. And I've had sponsees who did not relate to my experiences and could not identify in. And,
gentlemen.
You know, oh, thank you so much, Jody. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary G. from Arizona. Nancy C., you have about 2 minutes, please.
Hey, great. Thank you so much, Jody, for the meeting. Thanks for everyone who did get the meeting back up and going. My name is Nancy C. I'm gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm laughing. Talked for hours. When did I ever talk to anyone about my eating? You know, I used to go into pay and ways and couldn't wait to get in and get out because all they wanted to do was go eat more. And to be able to have people talk to me for hours about their eating and me identify and say, yes, that's me too, that's God's intervention, man. That's finally my deepest, darkest secret, my biggest hole. I'm being able to say I identify and letting that monster start to get out, letting that crap start getting out of me. That is a miracle in itself. You know, this is truly a we program, and we identify in by sharing our stories with other people. And I'd encourage anyone today who is identifying in, but lurking in the back and not talking, not having their cameras on, not saying anything, get with somebody and start sharing your story and how you identify in, because it is in sharing ourselves as people share with us that we get better and we can start letting God in and start being the powerless people we are that get that power from God, who is our loving God, who brings all of us together and gets us all well if we just pick up the simple tools laid at our feet. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan G., please read our closing, A Vision for You, beginning with suggestive only. Susan, press star one. Susan G., I don't hear you yet. All right, I guess she got kicked off, perhaps. Sarah L., are you there?
Jody, I'm here. Yep,
okay.
I'm here.
Please go ahead, Kara.
Okay. Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order.
but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.